Welcome back. I'm Paul Lawrence, the host of the Business of Government Hour. Tonight's conversation is with Raymond W. Kelly, Commissioner of the Customs Service. And joining me is Craig Petrin, consultant at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Commissioner Kelly, in this third segment, you mentioned it a little bit, and we'd like to talk about the role of technology at Customs. I think we're all aware of how technology is changing government agencies, and I'd be curious to see how that's working its way through Customs in terms of its mission and goals and objectives.
Well, technology is absolutely critical to our mission. We have, as I said, 301 points of entry, ports of entry. All goods coming into the United States come through those ports of entry. And there's an evaluation process that goes on for us to determine the value of goods and then the tariff that's charged for those goods. In addition, we're protecting against the entry of contraband. So we need information as to what's coming into our country. And that's what our system enables us to do. But quite frankly, it is being taxed to the extreme. Again, there's been a tremendous increase in trade in the 90s, and it puts a lot of strain on our automated systems and, of course, on our people as well. So we are hopeful that we'll be able to put in place a new automated system. We refer to it as ACE, the Automated Commercial Environment. It will enable us to do business the way business, as I said. We want to operate on the internet. That's the way the world is moving. We're not able to do that now. That's what this new system will enable us to do. It will enable us to manage it nationally, manage it centrally. Now it's stovepipe. It's a port by port management approach, and we want to change that. It just will enable us to operate the way we think business is operating and should be operating as we come in here into the next century.
Well, you described the tremendous need, but yet you said you're hopeful you can do this.
We're hopeful because it's a big ticket item, no question about it. It's estimated to be maybe $1.8 billion, and it will take at least 4 years to install. And obviously, our funds come from Congress through the administration. And there are hearings that are scheduled in Congress. There are ways to fund this. We, as an agency, don't necessarily want to get involved in how it's funded. We just know that we need it, and hopefully it'll happen soon. But trade is just growing tremendously. Again, by 2005, it may very well come close to doubling again. So we need a system that facilitates trade but gives us information as to what's coming into the United States. There's another system that we hope to front load with ACE, and that's ITDS, the International Trade Data System. Lots of agencies want information on what's coming into the United States, and up until now, a lot of that has just been forms that have been made out, paper, and a lot of redundancy. This system will enable us to gather that information and disperse it to the relevant agencies automatically. So that's the way we want to operate. Hopefully the resources will be made available to us in the near term.
Since it's not clear when that opportunity may arise to embark on building ACE, what are your plans for keeping the current systems operational? And I guess in the worst case scenario, could you describe to us what would happen if the current system did go down?
Well, we are keeping the current system going, of course. We've have funding dedicated just to do that. And we have continuance of operation plans, COOPs, we call them, at all of our ports of entry that will enable us to continue if the computer system breaks down. But in essence, is a paper system. So it's going to dramatically slow the process down if the system goes under at a particular port, or God forbid, goes under totally in the throughout the country. But our people have practiced that. Obviously, in preparing for Y2K and all of the possible contingencies, we've done a lot of work in that area. So I think we'll be able to function, but it's certainly not desirable for anyone, certainly not for us or the trade community.
Would the general public notice the difference if the system went down, or would it take some time for the general public to notice that ACS was not working?
Well, they would notice it because there'd be tremendous delays, no question about it. As I say, traffic has increased tremendously, and obviously goods coming into the United States is more and more shopping being done on the Internet, for instance, and people are now ordering goods from outside of the United States coming in. Those sorts of things would be significantly impacted. But hopefully, you know, we'll be able to keep the system going until we get adequately funded to put ACE in place.
Has all the introduction of technology, how has it changed how someone manages the Customs Service? I mean, I think you went through a long description of the different types of law enforcement individuals, investigators, and now it sounds like with all the introduction of technology, one day it might have a much greater component of IT professionals.
Oh, yes. We need, just like business communities, we need top-flight IT people. So, we're competing with the private sector to get the best people, and it's difficult, no question about it. So that has changed certainly and put pressure on us to go out and recruit the best people. And of course, government is somewhat restricted in what it can pay. So it's a challenge. Technology has given managers more information, so I think you're really better able to manage in many ways. You have real-time information, so you can make decisions, I think, more quickly. I mean, some people complain about information glut or information overload, and that's a problem. You have to sift through what's important and what isn't important. But overall, I think it's made managers much more effective, and it's a huge productivity improvement story throughout America. Technology has just tremendously improved productivity. People and certain customs services doing much more than it's ever done with less, with certainly static resources and less resources in some areas. So it's a major success story for America.
Mm-hmm. Well, our colleagues in the private sector always talk about that the introduction of technology changes the average person's in an organization job, and sometimes that change is very threatening. How are the Customs Service employees thinking about all the changes technology could bring?
I don't think it threatens anyone in terms of losing their job. Certainly, we don't think it's appropriate to downsize. I believe we need a larger staff, quite frankly, and that's an argument that I make all the time. But it means that the jobs are becoming more complex. Now, what we've done in customs is we brought in a director of training for the entire customs service. Up until last year, our training was very localized, very diffused. Now we have a director of training that directs all training throughout the organization, entry-level training, mid-level training, executive training, and that enables us to make certain that the proper IT training is done throughout the organization. And it's different. We're different than the private sector in that I think most people who are familiar with our operations would say that we need more personnel. So we're not. People are not losing their jobs. Their jobs are changing as a result of technology. And the training regime that we put in place will help people adapt to those new jobs.
Well, let me ask you, you indicated that you'll be facing many of the shortages the private sector is in terms of attracting information technology professionals. You indicated that the government's somewhat restricted by its compensation. So how will you get those people? And even a larger question is federal service, government service, something that should be attractive to young people with so many options and so many different compensation options?
Well, I think it's a challenge. I think it's exciting. And again, I think it's an opportunity to really make a difference. That's what attracted me to government service, and I've been fortunate enough to get a few honorary degrees from colleges. And when I make my speech, I always say that money is overrated. People are living well in this country. It's kind of ultimately, at least for me, about experiences and about a feeling of making a difference, of doing good, of impacting on people's lives. And that's what government provides young people. I mean, it's not for everybody. We understand that. But And that's the I think the attraction that we try to use for IT folks as well. We're making a difference. We have a mission to protect America, to come on board. And we have some really bright people, and we'll be able to bring people in from the private sector who like the challenge, who like the pace of work. And we have a very high pace, no question about it. We want to make change, and we want to do it quickly. And so, yes, we are competing. So far, we've been able to compete. And I like to think it's because of the nature of the Customs Service and the nature of government. And as we enter the next millennium, there's a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of challenges out there.
Well, it's time for a break, and we'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.